if you will, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Here at the end of the sermon on Pentecost Sunday, after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, Peter gives the conclusion and application. We're going to be reading from Acts chapter 2 at verse 36. Again, the focus is on the place, or I should say the necessity and the place of baptism. So Acts chapter 2, we'll start reading at verse 36, that's found on page 1082. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 36. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, being Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourself from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." And that's as far as reading in Acts chapter 2. We pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we witnessed a relatively familiar sight. A child was washed with water. Now, what was so significant, what is so important that we would take time out of the worship service to stop and have Jack and Michelle bring little Lorraine here before us? I mean, the fact is parents wash their children all the time. This is not the first time Lorraine has been washed with water, and it's not the last time that Lorraine will be washed with water. What makes baptism so unique that it finds its place in the context of the formal official worship service? Why do we perform this washing here within the context of the church? Well, a few days ago, I was asked by a member of our church this very question, and the question was this: what is one challenge that our church is facing? What is one major theological issue that is challenging our church? What is a doctrinal issue that needs to be addressed today in our churches? After some thought, my answer was this: covenant theology. Covenant theology is under attack today. Understanding the covenant and how it relates to our identity is no longer held in high regard in many churches. Some who have been raised in the context of a Reformed church no longer appreciate, no longer see the benefit of the covenant. They no longer see the baptism of their own children as being important. And some have even wandered away from the church as a whole. So the main issue that we are considering today is this: what does baptism say? What is the content of baptism saying to us? If baptism was a sermon, what would it be? What is baptism saying about ourselves? And what is baptism saying about God? Or I could put the question this way: who is the one who is talking in baptism? Who is the one who is giving promises? Who is making the declaration in baptism? Is baptism a work of man, or is it a work of God? Is the focus, the highlight of baptism, on the parents who bring their child, or is the core comfort of baptism God who speaks, God who promises? Well, this morning we consider this theme: Jesus Christ gives baptism to his people as a sign and seal of his work. Jesus Christ gives baptism to his people as a sign and seal of his work. And the title of our sermon is based broadly on Psalm 51, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." And at first point, then, we consider the meaning of baptism. The meaning of baptism is this: someone is dirty and needs to be made clean. What does it mean when we took little Lorraine here and sprinkled water on her head? Well, baptism is a picture. It is a sign of a deep theological truth. The fact is, people are dirty. There is something wrong with humanity. There is some dirt, there is some filth that is covering all people, and this needs to be dealt with. Well, what is the filth? What is the dirt? What is the pollution? What is the stain that is covering all people? Well, it is sin. It is depravity. It is wickedness. It is iniquity. It is rebellion. Whatever you want to call it, there is a dirt that covers people, and that dirt is wickedness, wicked things. We act poorly. We act wrongly. We hurt others. And it is this action that makes us unclean. We use this phrase that a person who is guilty has their hands covered in blood. They've broken the law. Their actions have found them out. So our starting point is simply this: people are dirty and they need to be made clean. As a picture, baptism points to this truth, to the identity of people, that they are dirty. Now, just as water is used to cleanse our bodies, we use soap and water to wash away dirt from our physical flesh. The fact is, there is no water found here on this earth that can deal with the stain of sin. No earthly water can cleanse our souls. We are sinners that need to be forgiven. But this water, the water of baptism, cannot secure the necessary cleansing. Because as a sign, baptism is not only pointing to the filth, to the dirt that people have, it is also pointing to the cleansing agent that deals with the problem. Well, what is the cleansing agent that makes people who are dirty clean? Well, the cleansing agent is blood. Not my blood, not your blood, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. As Scripture will tell us, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, that blood that was shed, securing the necessary cleansing. So the forgiveness of our sins is the benefit that shed blood provides. Isaiah 1 will put it like this: though our sins be like scarlet, we shall be made as white as snow. So the meaning, the picture of baptism is rather simple, rather clear. Sin makes people dirty, polluted, covered in grime. And in order to become clean, you have to be washed. Jesus' blood is the cleansing agent. In order to be forgiven, you have to have Jesus' blood wash you, cleanse you, be poured over you. So baptism is not just a pastor putting water on the head of this sweet child. It is a sign, a picture that points to the work that Jesus needs to do. That he needed to come into this earth, take on our flesh, be nailed to a tree, have his blood shed so that he would die for his people. In baptism, it is God who speaks. In baptism, it is God who needs to do the work, the washing. He needs to cleanse our souls from every wickedness and every stain. So as water is the cleansing agent of the body, so Jesus' blood is the cleansing agent of our soul. Forgiveness of sins, pardon of iniquity, removal of guilt, that is what Jesus Christ has secured. Okay then, now that I understand people are dirty and need to be made clean, the next question we have to answer is, who is the people that need to be clean? No one likes living in squalor, and I understand that baptism is a sign of cleansing. Sins make people dirty, but who commits sin? Who is this one that needs to be washed? Who does this truth apply to? How many people are dirty in their sins? To what extent has this pollution spread in the world today? Is it only certain people? The really bad ones? The people on the FBI's most wanted list? The terrorists in other countries? Who is a sinner that needs to be cleansed? I could put the question another way. Who needs to be washed? Who needs to be baptized? Well, the answer is, you need to be baptized if you're dirty. You need to be cleansed if you're stained. As Jesus himself will say, it is the sick that need the doctor. Well, who is sick? Who needs forgiveness of all their sins? A sinner needs forgiveness of all their sins. But the fact is, most people think they're pretty good, don't they? And maybe you think this about yourself, that I am a good person. If my life was put in the balance, in the scales, I would do more good than I do evil. I'm not as bad as the other people. Maybe you're in high school. I'm not as bad as the people who are vaping in the bathrooms. I'm not as bad as the people who are getting drunk on the weekends. I'm not like the players who are going out and doing things they ought not to do with the body. That doesn't apply to me. Well, where would you look if you were looking for a sinner? We saw this a couple weeks ago as God's people. The definition of sin is anything that goes against God's law. Sin is breaking God's commandments. So sin can come in all sorts of forms. Sin is lying, stealing, cheating, getting drunk, committing adultery, lusting, looking at pornography. I could go on and on. The point is clear. There is no shortage of sin in this world today. And it's not just out there, it's sitting beside you. It's sitting within you. We all crave, we all covet, we all lust. What causes fights and quarrels among you? It's because you have desires that are not being met. Why do you fight with your spouse? Why do you fight with your kids? Why do you fight with your neighbors? It's because there is something in you that is craving something. A desire is not being met. Even our little children, hitting, biting, kicking, complaining, even our very nature, born and conceived in sin, Psalm 51. So everyone is a sinner. Everyone needs to be washed. If you look at our passage in Acts 2, at the end of the Pentecost sermon, Peter says this. This is Acts 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, some of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Is that what Peter says? Some of you need to repent and be baptized. No, Peter says, every one of you. Who is a sinner? Every one of you, myself included. Brothers and sisters, the truth will set you free. So Jack and Michelle need to be cleansed. Lorraine needs to be cleansed. I need to be cleansed. You need to be cleansed. We are all sinners that need to be washed. We need to be forgiven. So the first truth that baptism reveals about the recipient is that they are sinners. But the second truth is that not only are the recipients of baptism sinners, they are also members of a family. They are someone who has been brought near, brought close, grafted into a new community. We could put it this way: those who are baptized are not only sinners, they are also members of the covenant. Earlier, we read in Matthew 28, where the apostles are told to go out into the world and to make disciples of all nations, and the distinguishing mark, the visible sign given to the disciples is this: baptize them. So I want you to go and make disciples, and as you are making disciples, I want you to set these people, the disciples of Jesus Christ, set them apart from the world. And the mark that which signifies who is a disciple of Jesus Christ is baptism. Baptism is a sign that reveals who is a member of God's people, who belongs in the household of God. We find this throughout the book of Acts, don't we? As the promise of Pentecost, the church is going from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. What do we find in the book of Acts? Well, the first converts, this is Acts 2, verse 38, received the word and were baptized. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added to the church. And the 3,000 that were added to the church were baptized. This one belongs to me, the Lord says. Continuing on, you have the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. After his conversion, Saul was baptized. Acts chapter 9. Cornelius and many other Gentiles in his house were baptized in Acts chapter 10. You have Lydia and her household, the Philippian jailer and his household in Acts 16, all being welcomed into the assembly of God's people, marked by the washing of water. And that is why little Lorraine was baptized this morning, because she, along with her parents, has been included within the household of God's people. Little Lorraine has now been baptized along with her believing parents because the promise is for her. The promise is this: the forgiveness of sins and inclusion within the family of God. As 1 John 1 verse 7 puts it, the blood of Jesus purifies us from all our sins. Well, now that we understand the meaning, the sign behind baptism, we understand who should be baptized. In our last point, we look at the consequence of baptism. What does baptism do? Does it really change anything? Well, baptism is a sign and a seal. And as a sign, it is a mark of initiation, if you will. It distinguishes, it sets apart God's people. The Lord says, this one belongs to me. This one is holy. This one is set apart. This one is a child of the covenant. Believers and their children are holy, Paul says. And as holy, they belong to God, set apart for him, and they should receive the sign of belonging to him. But the water, the physical water of baptism, doesn't wash away your sins. It is a means of grace. It is a sign of encouragement, a sign of belonging. It teaches us, it instructs us, it shows us that we have been united with Christ, and as a means of grace, we can learn about Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. But baptism is a sign. It does not secure in itself the forgiveness of sins. But baptism is not only a sign, it's also a seal, meaning it is a promise. And the promise is used to encourage us, to strengthen our faith. The promise connected with baptism is this: as surely as dirt is washed away from our bodies with water, so surely does the blood of Jesus cleanse us from all our sins. Baptism reminds us, it assures us of the efficacy of Jesus Christ's blood. Do you doubt that Jesus' blood can secure your forgiveness? Do you doubt the sufficiency of Christ? Do you question if his sacrifice can really help your cause? Perhaps you think that your sin is so bad that Jesus can't help. That's one of the works of the devil, by the way, as the accuser, is he brings your sin in front of your face and says, look at what you did. God could never love someone like you. Jesus died for some people, but he didn't die for the likes of you. Baptism is designed to meet this doubt. Those who struggle. Because the fact is, brothers and sisters, there are some stains that water cannot deal with. This past week I was working on my car. I had to replace a brake hose line, and after I finished working underneath with all that dirt, grime, and grease, I went into the house and I washed my hands. I should say, rather, I tried to wash my hands. And I do it again and again. Get a different soap. Try it again. Find a towel. Recognize I don't want to get grease on this towel. Find a paper towel. Rub, scrub, try to get my hands clean. Because there are some kinds of stains in this world that water can't cleanse. But rest assured, brothers and sisters, there is no stain that Jesus' blood can't cleanse. There is no sin that his blood cannot remove. His blood is so strong, so potent, that it cancels and cleanses, removing every debt. His sacrifice is so great that he died once for all for the forgiveness of all our sins. Even though there are some things that water cannot remove from your body, there is nothing that Jesus' blood cannot remove from your soul. And this is what baptism assures us of. So the consequence of baptism is strengthened faith. It encourages you. We need to believe this. We need to embrace it. Acts 22, verse 16. Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus. Acts 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. So the promise of God is clear. Remember, brothers and sisters, it is God who is speaking at baptism. It is God who works through baptism. Repent and believe, and you will be saved. Trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you will be forgiven. So if you see your need, if you know how dirty you are because of your sins, you need to believe that Jesus' blood does what God says it does. Trust in the blood of Jesus Christ to wash, to cleanse, and to make you clean. To conclude, understanding the sign and seal of baptism helps us appreciate what Jesus came and is doing. He came to secure the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Baptism teaches us we're dirty. Jesus' blood cleanses. As our theme states, Jesus Christ gives baptism to his people as a sign and seal of his work. So may we rejoice in the cleansing that his blood has provided. that there is a fountain that flows from his side, washing away all my guilty stains. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful and stirring truth, a simple picture that even a child can understand, that I'm dirty and Jesus makes me clean. May this truth be impressed upon us. May we not doubt, rather may we believe that Jesus' blood is sufficient, it's powerful, it's effective. And that as we trust in him alone, we find forgiveness from all our sins. In his name we pray. Amen.